This week has been sponsored by Family Perlman on the first yahrzeit of their mother, Bas Yerochel, Bas Ephraim Meir, Arai HaShalom.
Kof Zayin Shvat, Monday the 20th of February, Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Wenglin. B'chol Levavcha, can you imagine that?
Good morning, how are you all? See now, I'm American, sorry about that. And the truth is, I'll tell you a quick little secret, I'm telling a lot of people this, is we have a tremendous envy of the British accent. They won't admit it, Americans will never admit it, but Pemole, I'm telling you straight out that we are very much Makana, and if I break into a bad British accent, please forgive me, Meirosh. It's just, I know, it's one of those things, you know, we can't help ourselves. So,
that was terrible.
I know, but it gets better as I get going, don't worry. So, and this is definitely an American style. I've been groomed in the American gullus, so my this very refined British gentleman over here is looking at me like I fell at planet Mars already. But I'm saying that I have the American gullus has affected me, and I know that what I'm going to say is good for the British gullus also. But you're very prim and proper, so you don't know it yet. Okay, so what was I going to say? This is probably the most important shear. I mean, except for the other ones that I say that for. But I mean, this is like the most important shear. And I really thought when I was asked to speak here, and Baruch Hashem, thank you whoever was in charge of bringing me here, to give me the opportunity. But I thought, you know, for half an hour, something quick and sweet, but it should be te'elistic. It should be something that will help a person, not just, a nice little pill pull or something like that. Something that would really help us. So here we go. By the way, I'm having a little bit of bad pay this day, so just forgive me for a second, okay? So, that was funny in America, trust me. So, there's a little ditty. I'm going to read a little poem to you. I'm sure some of you know it. It's not mine, it's written by a non-Jew, okay? It starts off like this. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Hey, it rhymes. I didn't say that. I'm just saying, okay?
An Englishman,
a proper Englishman from Manchester. Okay?
Liverpool.
I'm in Liverpool, that's what I meant. I'm in Liverpool. Are you ready, John? Ready, Paul? Ready, mister? Anyway, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for to die.
No. Please cut the accent. Thank you.
Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, or no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Sounds great, doesn't it? Let me hear that. Let's make sure we hear it again, okay? Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Woohoo! Okay? So what do we think about those words? What do we think about that little poem? It's nice, right? Quite lovely, isn't it? It's nice. Nothing to kill or die for, right? No religion. Peace. Oh, this is England. People don't answer. Right. So, I don't like this at all. You know why I don't like this at all? I think it's... What?
That was a piece of the Amstrad.
Right, so very good. But let's be a little bit more, I'm going to just be a little bit more, you know, direct about it, even if I weren't so firm. Right? I'm not that I'm firm just because I wear a costume, but is, imagine there's no heaven, but there is. It's easy if you try. Okay, no hell below us, maybe. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living. Imagine there's no countries, but there are. It isn't hard to do nothing to kill or die for, but there might be. And no religion too, but there is. Right? So the problem with the song is it's not in touch with reality. It's not in touch with reality. Right? We don't want to be, that's the Iker, the Hashkafa, what's your name? That Lawrence just said, is the main thing about our Hashkafa is we're into reality. We're not into something that's a fantasy. Right? We want to know what the essence of reality is. This song is this little thing, which was a big hit, is having nothing to do with reality. Right? That's the sort of the problem. Oh, but I'm just starting off. Let's keep going. So, as we know, the entire world, the physical universe, is just a mushel or an emanation of the real spiritual reality of the world. Right? Really, existence reality is all. Elokus is all spiritual. And the physical world is just a manifestation of godliness. It's just a way. It's like there's the motherboard, and then there's the computer. So this is just the sort of the experience of the spirituality behind the scenes, the physical world. So that's why this forum talk about how the entire planet can be miramas to like parts of a human body, because the human body itself is like a template for spirituality. So to the karka and the world, right? That's why we can talk about the place on planet Earth that's like the heart of the entire world, and the place in the world that's like the entire heart of the entire world is Eretz Yisrael. And then within Eretz Yisrael, we can do it all over again, okay? And there's like a head and a heart and a legs of Eretz Yisrael. So the heart within Eretz Yisrael, the heart of the heart is Yerushalayim. And then within Yerushalayim, right, we have the heart. We can do it all over again. So the heart within Yerushalayim, of course, is the Makom Mikdash. And then in the Makom Mikdash, brought down, this idea is brought down in Nefesh Chaim, others form, right? The heart within the Makom Mikdash is Kodesh Kodashim. And what happens in the Kodesh Kodashim? Obviously, speaking to the choir here, right? The Kohen Gadol, heart of the Jewish people, goes in once a year on Yom Kippur, the heart of the Jewish year, and makes an achdus and a repairing of the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. On one day a year, it's intimacy, it's a place that's not even Tofes Mokum, it's the Malam and the Teva, because as we know, in this week's Parsha, the measurements of the Mikdash don't account for the Aron itself. It's the Malam and the Teva. I heard a quickly nice little thing where Moshe Wolfson Shlita says that in the list of miracles in Pirkei Avos, or nowhere does Chazal ever list as one of the miracles, the fact that the Makom Mikdash doesn't fit, the Aron doesn't fit according to the dimensions of the Makom Mikdash. He says, that's because that whole place is already in the level of the Malam and the Teva. You can't call it a Nes anymore. It's not even within the world of Teva. It's all, so, you know, it's not even Tofes Mokum in the world of Gashmis. It's not even called a Nes anymore. So in that Mokum comes this Achdus. So it comes out that the highest part of our life is B'chol Levavcha, is your heart. That is the central key to the relationship of the Yid. It's also mitzvah d'oraisa. Works out that way. Just the question is, of course, how do we get this heart of ours to get to the level of Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh Kodashim on the level of Yom Kippur? It's supposed to happen every day. B'chol Levavcha. Right? Whatever you can say, all the different words on that. Say Tzurecha as well, different parts. And we know my favorite Chassidish of Vort is in the Gemara Sanhedrin. It's a joke. Rachmana Liboboy. Right? Shem wants the heart. Rachmana Liboboy. He says it right there, clear and simple. Shem wants the heart. So I don't know about you, but when I started hearing these ideas, I said, where's my heart? Where's my heart? You know? I mean, never mind Shema, but let's go back to the I'm just saying. Right? The Hashanah of Reichim, Jesus' Rebbe, says that if a person is not East Misragish, he's not a feeling man, he's going to have a very hard time connecting to Yiddishkeit. In other words, the heart, we know we have emotions. So we have to, one, learn how to get them out, bring them out into our Avodas Hashem. And two, we have to be very careful with them, because emotions are like children. They can go and attach themselves to anything. As we know, emotions can be, they're like gasoline, rocket fuel. Yeah! Whoa! But the problem is they can get attached to any sort of different thing. They're emotions. And the lovely thing about this is, of course, we know from the Gemara of Yevamos, that Yidden are emotionally based. We're uniquely emotional. What is it? How is the lesson? By Shonim Rachmonim Gomli Chasodim. By Shonim Rachmonim and Gomli Chasodim, we are very sensitive people. We know it. Very sensitive. And Baruch Hashem, that creates tremendous moistos and agunim of Chasodim. It's really marvelous, right? And it's interesting also, again, I don't know where my background is, you probably can't tell from my voice that I didn't exactly grow up in Borough Park, is I know in the world, unfortunately, a Yid has to mamash bikoivesh this part of him. You know, you leave here and you go to London, your whole demeanor has to change, because that sensitive Nakuda Panim is very vulnerable in the world of the non-Jews. It's very, very vulnerable. So we train ourselves till they compartmentalize it, which is fine. We have to survive in the world. But it does something to us. We should realize that the teva of a Yid is to be incredibly sensitive and emotional. We're emotional people. Very emotional. We'll cry. I mean, you have to feel the pain to be able to have rachmanis, to be able to be motivated to actually do something, a pu'ula afterwards. But in the world, we have to protect ourselves. We've trained ourselves over the years, and I would dare say, I could be out on a limb here, that in Britain you become expert at it, that on the outside, the emotions are protected. And there's, again, there's a reason for that, perhaps, but we have to be conscious that it comes at a very big price. So we have to, again, I'm suggesting to learn how to bring it out a little bit more, because it's there, the Pnim, Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave it to us in droves. Right? So now, what's the way to do this? What's the tool? Okay? So it's interesting that there is a very spiritual power that exists in the world. That the ruchnis of it is like this. By Hashem, of course, is not tofes makom, right? Bechlal. So you can have the idea of opposites coexisting by Hashem. Here, let me do it this way. Close your eyes for 10 seconds. Don't worry, I can't grab your wallets. 10 seconds, and picture yourself any place, anywhere, anytime you want for 10 seconds. Go, just try. Just 10 seconds. Close your eyes now. 3 seconds. 2, 1. Okay, for those of you who tried it, you open your eyes. Even if you didn't do it, you understand what I'm about to say. You have this tool up there, right, that literally transcends time and space. It's mamash ruchnias. Right? We have this tool called imagination that enables us to go, you can go wherever you want, whenever you want, and the second you're there, you're there. The Baal Shem HaKadosh says, wherever a person's thoughts are, that's where he is. So when you put your imagination, you could be back at Bayis Sheni right now, you could be back at Mamad Har Sinai. I'm there. And the more you're into it, more than 10 seconds, I could tap you on the shoulder, like, huh, what, huh, what? And it's a very ruchnistic tool. We know that there's a pasuk in Tehillim, and gam choshek lo yachshich mimecho, v'lai lekli yom yor kachashecho keoira. That basically, in Tehillim 139, Kuflamates, the pasuk says, Hashem, day is like night by Hashem. Meaning opposites, which don't make any sense, is paradoxical in this world, in the physical world. Once you get to the level of ruchnias, there's no gulas anymore. Can you do it? So imagination, the second it could take you above time and space, it's about as ruchnistic a tool as we have in Olam Hazeh. It's an incredibly powerful opportunity, and it's a memutza, so as one sefer once, it's really the link between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, is this tool called imagination. And if you also think about it, you mamish have the power, kimat, to be boire yesh me'ayin in your imagination. It's about. It's definitely based on things you've seen before, but Bamas, and we see the Jews are very good at this because you've got Hollywood, ba-da-da-da, right? They took that koyach of imagination and they made a whole bunch of fantasy stuff coming out of that place, right? So it's true, I've never seen a space creature that looked so far different from a human being or an animal that it was like, where did they get that idea from? Because based on some sort of physical reality. But you see, you can come up with anything, create anything from nothing, with just the power of the imaginations. How dormant of Hashem is that? Right? That you have the ability to make little on the level of Yesh Me'ayin in your brain. Right? And really, when you get into the deepest form, the mashal, one of the mashals we know is it goes up in Hashem's thought to create the world. That really we are in an aspect within the thought of Hashem. So Hashem, so to speak, is being, the only difference between our thoughts and His thoughts, the machshav sarayim to machshav seichem, is that His thoughts create, I'm a machshav, and ours don't. But your brain, you're creating worlds in your imagination. It's there, right there. It's a very, very divine power that has been given by the Rabbanu Shalom. It's an amazing thing. I once asked a very good question to a rabbi. I tell you it's a very good question, because usually the question is better than the answer. In this case, the answer was a billion times better than the question. So I asked him, Parshas Ki Siso, I don't get it. The Yidden waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu to come down the mountain. He's a half day late. They count the morning. He says no. I meant the nights with the days. So he reckoned it a half a day wrong. So he's late according to their cheshbon, right? Then Rashi brings and the Gemara adds. The Gemara says that what happens, the Sutton shows Moshe Rabbeinu's Levi and Shemayim. Shows the Yidden the Levi and Shemayim. Right, and Rashi brings from the Midrash, and I think from the Gemara says that he brings that the Satan showed them Choshech va'afele va'arbuvia, and they said if Moshe Rabbeinu makes Moshe the kach ba'arbuvia le'yoyel, right? The reason why the chaos came to the world is the Chorim, Moshe's dead. They put together. They said they see the funeral in Shemayim. The Chorim, they had a whole procession that the Satan showed them, and it was and a fail of darkness and darkness and chaos in the entire world. Moshe's dead. We got to build another memutza. We have to build another rebbe, right? So ask, and we've been paying for this chet until today. So ask this rabbi, his name is Rabbi Ephraim Kramer, big buck in Rashi. I said, I don't get it. I don't get it. What's the time on the Yidden? Such a time on the Yidden? If you saw, if we had, it's, I assume that the Sultan had at his disposal all of the tools that were necessary to make that experience seem incredibly real to the Yidden. They saw a Leviah. They see the world in darkness and chaos. What do you expect them to do? The first thing people do in this situation is panic. You know, at least we're doing it in the right order. Like, what do you expect them to do? What's the time on them? Okay, maybe a little, you know, the time, but that we should be paying for it for doors and doors and doors. Ariam is that? So he said, Tag, it's a good question. I'm making that up. I don't know if he said that, but he liked the question, if I recall. So he said like this. He said, Be'emes, what were the Yidden doing between the Saras Adibrus and the 40, for the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai for the whole Torah? What were they supposed to be doing? What were they doing? They were working on themselves. They were talking to Midos, making themselves into Kelim to be Mekabel Torah Misina. Perfectly good. Obviously, again, when we say in Yonim here, we're talking about Doradea, Dora Midbar. Obviously, it's Lefi. You know, Dakis for us to learn from. So he explained, he said to me, so the Chayra, and he said, according to their level, they were off a tip tipa. Why? Because if they counted a half day wrong, and they ended up finding out that Moshe Rabbeinu was late, so he put it down to sort of mundane terms. If you're studying for a big, big exam, and the teacher ends up calling in sick, or saying that they're stuck in traffic, and they're going to be 6 hours late, what if people? And if there's a massive amounts of information, right, that you have to prepare for this exam, most people in that situation are pretty happy they've got 6 more hours to learn and make sure they have more the time to learn the material. Obviously, a person's a nervous person, they just want to get it over with, but obviously, if there's more to do, I'm happy for the reprieve of 6 hours. So he said to me, the Chura, on their level, they were looking, they weren't quite ready for the oil of Torah and Mitzvahs. So the second they had that opening, there was that level of Pesach in their Avodah that wasn't showing. And therefore, he said, it made an opening for the Sultan. And he told me, this rabbi said, in his words, he said, and Rashi uses the Lashon from the Major, that the Sultan brought a Dmus Choshev Afel of Yevurvia, Dmus. And this rabbi says to me, so what happens, there's a Pesach. In the Pesach that the Sultan can use to grab onto this powerful tool called our imagination, a Koch HaDimyon. And he says, because what's the Koch HaDimyon really there for? Why does Hashem give it to us? Because we got a world that's unseen. I got a Olam Haba, Gan Eden, never seen it. Got a Malachim, never seen it. Got a Cheshbon Shemaim, never seen it. Ayin Ra, Ozen Shemaz, V'kol Ma'asim B'Sefer Nichtovim. You ever seen that book? Every night, Hashem goes up there and signs that book. Every night. Chazal say, every night. You ever seen that book? So all the Mesholim and Chazal are Gash Mistik Mesholim. But I've never seen them, I've never touched them. But I got this. So this is the connection between the Olam HaGashmi and Olam HaRuchni, this power of Dimyon. Says Rav Kramer to me, but once there was that Pesach, the Sultan came in, took that power of Dimyon, ha! And yanked it. He says, you get Mickey Mouse. Those were his words, you get Mickey Mouse. Not that that was created by a Yid, but you get the idea of a whole fake world. And he said that was what he was able to use from that. He showed them a Mita, a Dilvaya, he showed them a Buvi of Afela. He showed them all that with the Koch of Dimyon that he was able to yank away from their Avodas Hashem. But the power of our Koch of Dimyon is that great. And if you think about it, don't think about it, one of the biggest challenges that I face when I'm talking to Yidden who are like secular or need to have Chizuk in their Avodas Hashem, they say, but Rabbi, I can't see it. How do I know? And not proof. They believe it, but like, the ball game, Rebbe, is more real to me than the mitzvahs. I don't get any feedback. I don't touch it. I don't smell it. I don't taste it. How do I know? When a guy hits the ball over the fence, or in your terms, he puts the ball inside the rectangle, I know it's happening. Same stuff is going on in Shemayim, we know all the time. All the time. So it's the Koach of Dimyon, right, that we need to use. But it's interesting, on the board here, right? How powerful this tool is and how critical it is to our lives, because it's the activator of our emotions. is most people, look at the words, just picture them, use your imagination. Rachmana Liba Boy. And translate that accurately, please. Rachmana Liba Boy. Everybody says, Hashem wants the heart. That is not the proper title of that phrase. Bechlana. You would never, if you never heard those words before, you would translate them the right way. What does Rachmana Liba Boy really translate as? Rachmana Liba Boy. What's the subject and what's the object in that phrase? How do we speak in Lashon HaKodesh? Rachmana Liba Boy. I'll change the words into English. Okay? And I'll change them completely. Food, my stomach wants. Do we say would I translate that as, if I just wrote those three words, those three parts of speech, food, my stomach wants. Hashem, heart, wants. How would you translate that? You wouldn't say Hashem wants the heart. You don't put subject, object, verb in English. You can put object, subject, verb. You can put Hashem, the heart, wants. Money, my pocket, wants. Food, my stomach, wants. Hashem, the heart, wants. It's not Hashem wants the heart, which is true, Baruch Hashem. I think this is from the Baal Shem HaKodesh, but really it's the heart wants Hashem. Because the heart knows, if I go over here and go over here, I'm going to get attached to something else. Football, money, art, literature, music, whatever it is, the heart's crying out saying, you better attach me to the right place because I've got emotions. I'm going to go wherever I'm inspired, wherever I can be lifted up. The heart wants Hashem. The heart knows I'm in trouble if I don't have Hashem. Connect me to Hashem. And the tool that we have to do that is our imagination, because the other things have such an unfair advantage to grab onto us. So, going back to the beginning, and it's amazing, there's another song that was delivered by some British blokes called, I'm just going to say the words, I'm not going to sing it, because it's really, they stole it from somebody or borrowed it from somebody. It's just my imagination. Listen to the expression. It's just my imagination. What do we say? What's the expression? It's an expression. They made a song out of it. It's just my imagination running away with me. Listen to those words. I'm not even running away with my imagination. It's just my imagination. I heard in the back. It's just my imagination running away with me. At that point, I'm a chafetz. I'm a dovar. I'm nothing. And the imagination has got total bias and shlita over me. That expression is so tief. Right? It's just my imagination running away with me. There's no me. I have no control anymore. If a person doesn't control this, they're in trouble. What's the difference between a championships cup game and a World Cup game? Basically, the icker difference. Imagination. Imagination. Our Kocha Dimon says, if a person puts a ball in that rectangle, on that rectangle, in that oval, in July, every 4 years, it means a lot more than a person puts that in the rectangle once a year in February or March, or with 12-year-olds playing in some sandlot somewhere up in, I don't know, Leeds. It's just our imagination. The whole koyach of Mashiach in the world is just based on this one koyach, the koyach of Dimyon. There's no difference between me going right outside now on the street, putting a rectangle up, and kicking a ball on it, and whatever, Rooney doing it in July somewhere, right? In the every 4 years, if he can do it, right? There's no difference. There's no difference. Just the power of imagination, right? So we want to connect, as we said in the beginning, Lawrence, right, to reality. The song is no good because it uses the power of imagination to connect to not reality. Baruch Hashem, we're Yidden. Hashem told us everything about reality. Some of it I can't see with my physical eyes. So what? I know that wasn't Shemaz, it's up there. There's a safer, there's a lot of other things. So the tool is to use the imagination to connect to reality according to our sixth form, according to Chazal. Right, so I have a few things that I use as tools to like build this up a little bit. And then the last thing, of course, is to actually get into it. But I don't expect that from to start with. I've worked on this, okay? So we know that, for example, just some of Mashon, this is more for the women, but I'm trying to tap into that sensitive part of you. We know that the Yidden are like the Kala to Hashem's Chosin. Right, Mama Harsina is a chasana. So some people get emotional, a chasana. So imagine yourself getting emotional every time you do a mitzvah, connect yourself to Hashem, like a kala, to a chasana. Right? Or you could imagine related to that, You can imagine, I mean, the Baal Shem says, if a person wants to prevent themselves from doing an Avera in any level, just think, I'm a little yingle, I just want to make my Tati and Himmel proud. I just want to give Nachas Ruach to my Tati and Himmel. It's very, very, very hard to do an Avera after a person says that. It's very hard. I've tried. It's very hard. If a person is real with that and they say, I really just want to give Nachas Ruach to my Tati and Himmel, look Tati, look how good I am, such a good boy. It's really hard to yell at somebody after that. Right? Never mind, you might actually put, you know, on the film with like a little geschmack. Yeah. You know? I want to give my Tati and Himmel. It's a beautiful metaphor. We have Baruch Hashem, everything in life is just a metaphor. So why do we have children? One of the reasons we can see that metaphor. Kids are halishing to give us Nachas Ruach. Look what I did, Tati, look what I did. That's so cute. You got the macaroni right on the page in the right place. That's so cute. You stuck it on there. That's really great. Look, Tati, look what I did. It comes back. That's really good. You got the enemy colored like everywhere. Great. That's great. Look what I did. Look what I did. All the time. That's just to give us the feeling what's really going on between us and Hashem. Use the koach of imagination. Another beautiful one is we know there's a... here's another one. If you're a competitive person, you know, the sports animal in you, right? So this is what I'm talking about. Everything we're doing is a battle in spirituality. Are we giving koach to the Sarshal Esav? Are we giving koach to the Sarshal Ishmael by the averes we do? If a yid does mitzvahs, all the hashpos come straight down into the world the right way. Second, we make averes, it's a pesach, it's a pritza in the flow, and then the side of tumah can be yoinik from it. So again, it's hard to picture that. But I can picture war, I can picture battles, I got video games now all over the place. So instead of it being a video game, it's the same thing as me. You mean if I watch too much football, the koich of Esav is going to grab onto the koich of Yid that's getting to the football. Yeah, it's going to grab that. And social Esav is just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm assuming the footballers are basically, you know, employees of the social Esav. Right? Person has to be real, it says in the Sfarim. I mean, what do you want from me? It's true. So use my imagination. I'm a competitive person. I don't like losing. I'm going to beat the side of darkness. Make it into something real. Another beautiful one is there's the Sefer Shmiras HaLashon in Shar Torah, Perek Zion. He brings a beautiful Midrash Rus. And he says, Bekitzer, that Atana Rav Zmira'a had a dream. He was out in the mountains and he saw flames. He said to himself, this is surely the makam of Gehenna. And then he falls asleep. And in the dream he saw in the dream a yid being punished in the fire and then disappearing. And then he falls asleep as a dream, and that yid comes to him in the dream. And the yid says to him, he says, who are you? He says, the Rishonim don't know their names. What did you do? There's not one wicked thing, said the yid, that I didn't do when I was alive in the world. What's happening to you? They punished me three times a day and three times a night in fire. Where did you live when you were in the world? I lived in the Gala in the Tzafon. And then it disappears. So the Achad Rav Zmira'ah wakes up, he goes up to the Galil, and he asks, shortening the story, he asks around about this yid who he saw in the fire, and they start cursing him. There was not one wicked thing this man didn't do in his lifetime. Curses on him, curses on his mother. They leave behind the child. Yes, and the child is just as wicked as the father, if not worse. Where is the child? So they found him in the place of the, you know, butchers or whatever, the people hang out in the, playing crap games or something like that. So he grabs the child, and he starts teaching him Mikra, and Davening, and Kriya Shema, and then he teaches the Mishnah, and Talmud, and Halacha, and Agarata, right? And then becomes this person, this Yengel, becomes and grows up to be a Rav, right? And after that becomes a Rebbe, a big Rebbe. Rav Zmira has a dream, and the Yid from Gehenim comes to him and says, you gave me comfort, so Hashem should give you comfort. Why? What happened? From the day that you taught my son Mikra, a Pasuk, they reopened my case. In Shemaim, again. The day that you taught him Kriya Shema, they gave me a day off, a whole day off from judgment. The day you taught him, Agaritas and Talmud, all that, they erased my din entirely. The day that they called him Rav, they took me out of Gehenna and put me on a throne among the tzaddikim. And every day now that he's gotten wise, he makes a chiddush for every chiddush my son makes, they put a new atara on my crown. Bless you, Reb Zmira. What do we learn from that? It's Midrash Rus, it's Midrash. So what we do here actually changes the destiny of our Bubbas and Zaydis. Bubbas and Zaydis. I didn't start off looking so much like this. I feel bad. My brothers and sisters are like every day, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, going up. And you know, I don't know. They're looking at the rest of their family like, sorry, sorry, he did shoot. Sorry. They go up. They go up. They go. Here's another mitzvah. Whoa! Another. Use your imagination. I don't know if you met your babas and zaydis. Alta babas and zaydis. Every time you do a mitzvah with geshmak, take it in an aliyah. It's real. This is real. Oh, it's just in a book somewhere. It's reality. 100% reality. Use my imagination to connect to reality. So I'll close with the last idea, and the thing is you have to actually make it real. The tool is, just like the football is real. Yeah. Or just like the, I don't know what you're into. Just like the, oh, that's such a sad ending. Ha, ha. It's real in front of your face. So too, the core of imagination can make what's in this form actually real. So the Mishnah Berurah brings an amazing thing about Aleinu. How many times a day do we say Aleinu? 3 times a day, 7 days a week for the rest of your beautiful lives until 120. It's amazing. 3 times a day we say that. So what does he say there? The Ramah says, right, it's very important to say it with Kavana. The Mishnah Berurah brings from the Matan Moshe. Amazing. It's a Kuf Lamed base. He says, what's the Galushan right? But basically, I'll summarize it. He says, a person says Aleinu, has to say it with Ema and Yira. Why? Because Kol Tzva Hashemayim Shomim. Kol Tzva Hashemayim Shomim. Right? And then he says, HaKodesh Baruch Hu Omeid. Omeid. Not Shyoshev. Omeid. With his Parma Shemayla, whole Parma Shemayla, right? And they say, the whole Parma Shemayla says, Ashrei Ha'am Shekachaloi, Ashrei Ha'am Shehashem Elokav. In other words, I've been in the stadium before, maybe you have also. That means every time I say Aleinu, every time I say Aleinu, there is a big stadium in Shemayim with Hashem and all of the Malachim up there looking down at a minion of Yidden saying Aleinu, and they're cheering. Ashrei Om Shekacholoi, Ashrei Om Shehashem Elokov. And I'm sitting there saying Aleinu like this. But I think that maybe I'm just, you know, if I got a little bit of Britain in me, I would like run around, take off my shirt and slide on the ground like this, like I just scored the championship goal, the golden goal. Because I got a stadium of Malachim up there cheering me on. Cheering me on. So I have to make it real. I can't. I'm on a very low level. I work very hard to take the dimion and actually get into my goof. Because when my team wins, I go like this. So every now and then you might catch me like davening shachris, I'll go like this. I don't necessarily pay attention to what I'm saying. I may not be. But at least I know it's real. At least I know it's right. My best shiur, which I read, it's too late, I may have to drink this quickly. You know, I'll do this to close with you.
What are you drinking? The imagination.
I'm now going to say bracha. You're going to say Amen, which has more schus than the bracha. In Shemayim, you're getting more money than is in all of you know the treasury stores of the king and queen. There's no king, the queen, I guess. One Amen, you know it, you know it. So I know you won't do this because you're British, but if you can, maybe to your neighbor, well, I won't look. No one will see you. I'm going to say bracha, but Nefoshos. Afterwards, say Amen, and maybe just maybe American style, turn your name and go like, yeah, a little high five. Okay, like best year. I'm going to become the high five of Rebbe. You ready? Savri, Burich atu aduino, Yehainu melech hoilam, Boi rei nefushas rabois, Vechess roino, Al kol mashu brozo, Lechayos, Boi am nefesh kol choy, Burich chay, Boi lomim. Amen.